Which does so. Hello, Ryan. That does bring us to today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And, well, let's start with the Falcons while we're on that subject, Jeff. Question number one, Devontae Freeman says he should have been the Super Bowl MVP. Now, we all know the Falcons should have won the Super Bowl. They did not. Had the Falcons won the Super
Wait
Bowl.
Wait a minute. I blacked out when it was 28-3. What happened?
They did not win the Super Bowl. I did not black out because I was like, man, I got the Falcons plus 4.5. I'm spending those winnings.
Easy.
But Devontae Freeman, would he have been the Super Bowl MVP?
No, they would have given it to Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan?
He was MVP of the league. He had a really good game. He would have gotten it.
Yeah. Freeman was the guy they couldn't stop. The real MVP of that game was Kyle Shanahan.
Well, he was the most valuable.
Well, there wouldn't have been an until if it wasn't for Kyle Shanahan.
Because that gets back to the point with how Freeman was running, with the quality of kicker that Brian is. You've got an 8-point lead with the clock winding down. Just give him the ball.
Yeah. I would point out to Devontae Freeman, though, that he is the one who missed that block on the sack fumble that led to Patriots points.
Well, that doesn't show up in the stat.
I guess it doesn't. And it was a tough break because Tevin Coleman had gotten hurt the play before, so they had to put Devontae Freeman in. But you know what then? Kyle Shanahan could have called a different play.
They could have just given him the ball.
Yeah, since he was basically unstoppable for that entire game. But once up 28-3, I believe he had 4 carries after that.
That's tough.
But one thing I would just like to see, though, because one of the biggest questions hanging over the Falcons this season is – their ability to get beyond that game. And while it's, I think we all definitely are in the camp that it's going to be impossible for them to do. I mean, they'll never not think about that. But, at least just they should stop talking about it, though. Devontae Freeman should get past it. But maybe he's negotiating, too, because he does want that big contract. So maybe he wants to say, you know what? In my negotiation, I would like you to consider that I should have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
So that ought to get me double the cash.
Get him a little bit more. He wants that big-time running back money.
Well, he's a big-time back.
He is a big-time back, but he ain't that much better than Tevin Coleman.
No, he is not.
He just touches the ball more. So, but they both pretty much average the same yards per carry.
That's a heck of a 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Good offense Atlanta's got going on.
They do.
And it's Steve Sarkisian.
How could they not make the playoffs next year, right? It's like the Carolina Panthers. I blacked out, too. Carolina went 15-1 and made the Super Bowl. What happened after that?
I don't know. I remember the Falcons being 7-5 at one point last season and then played two of the three worst teams in the NFL. The one they didn't face was the Browns, but in consecutive weeks they played the Rams and the Niners. And they won those games, and then they were 9-5. And then they played the Panthers, who also picked in the top 10, and then they were 10-5, and then they hung on and beat the Saints in the last game of the season, and they were 11-5. And they got into the tournament, and that's what it takes. You just got to get into the tournament, and that gives yourself a chance. But and the Falcons, they ran with it, went to the Super Bowl. But, it's not like they were 15-1 from the previous season. And even though the Panthers were, they did not make the playoffs last season. You're correct.
Neither team that made the Super Bowl 2 years ago made the playoffs this past year.
I guess the Broncos kind of had an excuse.
Yeah. And they actually got off to a good start. Denver did last year.
Yeah. But in the end, when a seventh-round draft pick from Northwestern is starting at quarterback for you, that's just going to be a tough level to maintain.
It's hard to get into the playoffs when your QB is a seventh-rounder from Northwestern.
All right, moving on to today's 5 at 5, Dwight Howard. He has been traded. And what does it say, too, that keep in mind, the Hornets and Hawks play in the same division. So the Hawks have not only traded Dwight Howard, they traded Dwight Howard to a team in its division.
Well, Chris, you have predicted that he'll lead the NBA in three-point shooting next year since he's working on that.
He is working on it. What will his free throw shooting percentage be next season?
I'm going to go under 50% next year. I'm going to say he has a drop-off.
Yeah. See, here's the problem for Dwight Howard. Even if he became a really good three-point shooter, like an expert marksman, then teams will just foul him and watch him go 0-for-3 from the free throw line then.
Yeah, he's not very good. Not very good at the line.
And do you think that's the reason the Hawks traded him? Because that speaks like, well, you're not taking this seriously enough. We're paying you $70.5 million. You're shoot 53% from the free throw line. You're just coming off your second lowest scoring season in your career since you were a rookie, and you're talking about practicing shooting three-pointers.
I know. It is one of those deals. And listen, I get it. In the end, it is a job. But there has to be a high percentage of players, Chris, who are just out there basically just getting a check. It's part of their job, and they will do good enough to maintain their level of pay. Or you know how it goes. If it's one of those free agent years, you'll put a little extra out there. But if you're a Hawks fan or if you're in the Hawks front office, when Dwight Howard has a quote like that, I don't think you sit there and say, boy, here's a guy who's really dedicated to helping us get to that next level, to overtake LeBron and the Cavs.
No. And if you, now you've got fresh blood in the front office too, and I hope the mindset is to just finally do what needs to be done, and that's just be bad and get into the lottery and hope you could strike gold in the draft. I mean, I know that's still a risky undertaking and a long shot, but if you're not a franchise that's going to legitimately attract some big ticket free agent, like if you're looking out there right now and saying, okay, the tea leaves are kind of reading that maybe LeBron is going to leave Cleveland once again. Atlanta would have no, like, Atlanta's got no shot where, like, okay, LeBron might come and play for the Hawks because they've got Howard and they've got Paul Millsap, and you had him in there, but they're just still not that franchise.
No.
So the only thing they can do is hope they can score in the draft, and the only way to really do that is you got to be in the lottery.
Yeah, there are just not too many guys like Giannis who come around who are the 15th pick. And, you know, but even like when we were going through the list last hour, you know, even the teams that have, you know, gotten players who have turned out to be really good. I mean, Anthony Davis is a great player. I mean, New Orleans is a borderline playoff team. You know, Minnesota's got Towns and Wiggins. I mean, they should be really, really good.
And they've got Ricky Rubio.
They're a borderline playoff team. So even with the high picks who have turned out to be really good, they're not these franchise-altering players like LeBron James, like Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So far, it doesn't look that way. No. Anthony Davis has the potential, but and now he's got he's paired with DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, that'll be a good 1-2 punch.
You know, there's still work to be done. I mean, Minnesota is interesting because they've got
pieces.
You know, yeah, they've got Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns, but and now Tom Thibodeau is their head coach, and like every year they'll go and. Like a couple of years ago, you know, they went and won in Golden State in that 73-win season. They've got these little games and these spots throughout the year where they'll win that shows like maybe there's, you know, their time is coming. And I don't know, maybe it will, but because those guys are still young, and at least they're averaging 20 points a game. It's not like they're sitting down there just averaging single digits or anything like that. But Hawks got to find a couple guys like that. They got to do it in the draft. And so I feel like between that and the fact that Paul Millsap seems likely to be exiting, Dwight Howard is gone, that commitment to just blowing it up and starting from scratch might finally be in place. And it might be a tough ticket in the sell, too, when you read today that, well, they're going to remodel Phillips Arena and the average ticket price is going to raise by $3.
And they're going to stink next year?
Yeah. But, you know, with the long-term health in mind. Because I'm not even sure I'd want to pay $3, an extra $3 a ticket just to see a team that's going to end up like the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Would you pay $3 a ticket?
No, because I still have to drive to Atlanta.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess if you lived right in that area.
I'm not even sure if someone gave me a ticket if I would.
Well, the thing is, here's what you would do. Oh, they're playing Cleveland. Okay, I'll go watch.
In fact, a couple of years ago, somebody offered me to go to a Hawks game and actually sit in a suite, and I even turned that down.
It's the drive. It's the parking.
Yeah. It's that. Yeah, I mean, it's just.
It's a hassle to get there.
Yeah, it was just like I would have gotten out of here at like 6 or 7 o'clock and then gone over there, and I just, I'll pass. Plus, I'd rather sit courtside anyway. That's kind of one of my bucket list things. I do want to sit courtside at an NBA game once, because those guys are, when you, they're ridiculously, I mean, there's freaks of nature. The guys that size can move the way that they do. And I only think that that perspective you can probably only get when you're sitting like right there.
Just make sure not to trip the starting center.
Well, if he plays for the other team, I will. That was the problem. LD tripped his own guy in Shaq. But it turned out Shaq really loved Seinfeld.
Oh, that was a good break.
Speaking of Seinfeld, a guy the Braves need to get is Brandon McCarthy, who pitches for the Dodgers now. Brandon McCarthy, by the way, he shut the Mets out last night. Dodgers beat him 12-0. But he tweeted that, I don't remember the exact word that he used, but basically the gist of it was that it's ridiculous for him to think that whenever he pitches against the Mets, like, he can impact Jerry Seinfeld's mood.
Nice.
Yeah. So I like that was a good. I like that's that guy. The Braves need to get him then.
Nice.
Since they play the Mets more often.
Absolutely. They play what 18? Do they still
18,
do,
19 18? Times a yeah. year? You play. You know, Dodgers and Mets play like 6-7 games. That's it. So that was a good. Good shout out to Seinfeld from Brandon McCarthy. And then he went ahead and shut them out. So I guess he didn't really care about what Seinfeld's mood was going to be. He was okay just putting him in a foul mood. Oh, the Hawks have tweeted new membership plans are available. Check out what we've got. After trading Dwight Howard and probably not re-signing Paul Millsap.
And by the way, I will say for what Atlanta's doing, it was a good move to move Howard.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think part of the reason, Chris, that they got Howard last year, it's like you said, he is a big name still. And basically when they let Horford go, well, here's the best player. He's been a really good Hawk. They're letting him move on. And was that the right play? Maybe. So they feel like they have to fill the void. And probably when it comes to PR, it's like, oh, well, we got Dwight Howard. And, you know, for a lot of just casual fans, they might say, oh, okay, well, we lost a really good player. We got a really good player. Whereas they lost a much finer player than what they gained.
Right.
But it's kind of like what we were saying. If you ask the average fan out there, who's got more major championships, Jason Day or Zach Johnson?
Yeah, then they're going to say Jason Day.
Right.
And that's, Dwight Howard was still a more famous and bigger name than Al Horford. Yeah, even though Horford was
much better player. Yes.
You know, but then a year ago, too, the Hawks had a GM who I guess his mindset was he was trying to preserve his job. And if the Hawks weren't in the we need to tank to get good mode, then that was the way to do it. But now they've got a new guy in there, and maybe that the attitude is it's time to just try and figure out a way to get into the lottery.
Travis is a good one. He's a sharp guy. He really knows the game. But, you know, the other part of that, too, you got to get lucky. You have to – if you do get in that lottery, you got to have the right guy. And the other part about basketball, and we have talked about it with Atlanta, really not being able to lure in those big-name free agents. If they did get lucky enough in the draft and get the right guy who proved to be good, perhaps then – that would bring other big-name players together. Because let's face it, you know, 30 years ago, if somebody would have said, oh, big-name free agents are going to want to go to Cleveland and Golden State, you'd have been laughed out of the room.
But yeah, no, I mean, what's the basis there?
No, but big names, you know, Kevin Durant wanted to go play with Curry and Thompson and Green, and LeBron, you know, went back home and, you know, had a chance to play with Kyrie Irving and, you know, knew they had the pieces to get there. So maybe if Atlanta does get lucky and gets the big guy from Arizona or Michael Porter and they turn out to be really good, then maybe that big name free agent's there and says, you know what, I'd like to go there. Maybe Kentavious Caldwell-Pope then says, you know, I could go back home to Georgia and be a number three or four guy on that team. So that's the best chance. But again, is we proved when we did that exercise just to the last five drafts, the top five picks. I mean, your odds, even if you do well in the lottery when the numbers are handed out, the odds of getting a real impact player, they just aren't being turned out.
No. I mean, occasionally there is that one obvious no-brainer. I mean, the most recent one, I guess, was probably Anthony Davis. And he's turned out to be
correct, and it was
solid.
Wall before him.
Moving on in today's 5 at 5. Okay, so Howard's gone. Millsap leaves. That seems likely. How many games do the Hawks win next season?
Well, since I probably couldn't tell you then two of their starting five. Here's a problem, though. I think half the league's doing what the Hawks are doing. So I'll give the Hawks, you said 30. Chris, I'll go even lower. I'll give them 28.5 wins, over under 28.5. So I'll give them 28.
Sounds good.
So that'd be, put it, 28's the opposite of 82.
That's what needs to be done.
So 28 and how many losses would that give you? 28 and 54.
Poor Steve Holman.
Oh, geez.
He'll be fun to listen to.
You know, you got, and that's the thing too. Even if you're a beloved announcer, and you're saying, "Boy, I love the team," and I get it. Maybe 5 years from now, this means I'll get to call a championship. When you know going in that NBA season is long. You know, they start before Halloween, and even if you don't make the playoffs, you're not finishing up until April. And that is a long, long, long year.
Yeah.
And even if they said, "All right, you're gonna have a championship in 5 years," it's like, woo. Can I just go into hibernation? Can I pull a Han Solo until then?
Because, I mean, the honestly, like, in the short term, then, I mean, even though Howard is – his skills aren't what he once was, I mean, I do think, sure, he might still have the potential to be – to get to the All-Star game, which, for whatever that's worth, Carmelo Anthony was this past season. But, I mean, they definitely won the deal. I mean, Mazz Plumlee averaged 2.5 points a game last season. That's currently the Hawks' only center.
He was the first-round pick in either 13 or 14.
Yeah, who now I think is his fifth – he's on his fifth team.
That's not a good sign when you're 27, 28 years old.
He played for two teams last year, the Pacers and then the Hornets. And now he's a Hawk. Moving on to the 5-at-5, Jeff, we've discussed one Atlanta Freeman, Devontae. Let's talk about Freddie Freeman. Now, Freddie is going to travel with the team next week. They head out to the West Coast to play the Angels and then I believe the A's also.
Are we talking Braves here? But, San Diego and Oakland.
San Diego and Oakland,
yeah,
okay.
After Milwaukee, yeah.
So the reason Freddie's going out there, he's working with Ron Washington, taking grounders at third base as the Braves are exploring possibly when he comes back. Moving Freeman to third so that they can keep Matt Adams in the lineup at first base. What do you think about that that move?
If he's ever played the position before, I think it's at least worth a look.
Well, I mean, they got to keep. I mean, if I guess if they're still like thinking, well, we want to try and have a good season this year, they got to figure out a way to keep Adams in the lineup.
But
then.
A couple of our listeners did tweet us that Adams has played some in the outfield in the past.
Right, but I guess the problem there is, like, the three outfielders are above average. So, I mean, third base right now is definitely a weak spot where you would put an extra hitter in the lineup as opposed to taking still, I mean, Markakis, Kemp, or Inciarte.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think it's worth a try.
Unless one of those guys can play third base.
Boy, then you're really moving guys around.
Yeah. I like the commitment, though, from Freeman. The captain, the leader of the team, willing to play another position.
Well, he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have great range over there, but, you know, he's got a good hand eye. And
I'll take the defensive laps on the hot corner for whatever the offense is that Freeman. I guarantee Freeman will more than make up offensively for whatever deficiencies he has defensively at third.
I like your idea. Just move to the American League.
If that's not a viable option,
that's right.
Then, you know, I like Freeman's attitude, willing to give third base a try.
Just say, excuse me, we would like to move to the American League because we've got two first basemen.
But if it doesn't work out, then Atlanta just needs to trade Matt Adams to a contender and then get something in return. Because, I mean, let's be real. I mean, I don't know what it's not like the Braves are that good this season. I guess they're better than they were a year ago.
Well, they're 8 under .500 now.
What if they won 31 games?
Yeah, they're not good.
So, but maybe now if they figure, all right, we'll have Adams as part of the future, and Freeman will turn into a third baseman instead of a first baseman. Just as long as those dastardly Canadians stop throwing pitches at him.
That all right, Jeff. Brutal, Chris, because he was, I mean, the start he was off to.
Yeah, he was his –
MVP.
He was MVP on his run to definitely being in the conversation there right alongside Bryce Harper.
Yes.
All right, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-at-5 today. Yesterday we talked about some sleeper teams, college and the pros. Jeff, is there a team whose hype I should be buying this offseason? A lot of times I don't like to buy hype.
Okay.
But is there a team that's generating hype that you feel like, well, you should probably consider the hype?
Well, it's like we said, if you're talking about real top 10 preseason type teams, we're both leery of Penn State and Southern Cal, correct?
Yes.
You know, I would buy into Florida State, Alabama.
Should I buy Alabama?
I would buy Alabama. I would buy Florida State.
What about Ohio State? Should I buy the Buckeyes?
I would buy Urban Meyer and Ohio State. Again, like I said, when it comes to Meyer and Saban, when they have a year where they don't win at least 11 games, talk to me. And then if they have two in a row where they win single digits, then I'll be willing to listen. But those guys' record, the year by year, how many national championships they've won, how many times they've been in the playoffs. And it's like last year, neither one of them won the title, but they were both in the playoffs. So you know, until they're consistently mediocre, yeah, you absolutely buy them. I would throw you Oklahoma State. I think they've got a chance to be really good.
So there's kind of like that legit middle tier program that's generating hype that I need to be aware of. Well, you know, they probably should have had one more win last year than they did.
Well, they count it.
Yeah, Gundy did make those rings up for him.
Well, and that's one of those, too, that I do think, especially since it was a last play, you know, that's almost one where the NCAA could have come in and immediately said, hey, listen, no, Oklahoma State won this game. Because, again, not only it was the last play, and it was like the game should have been over. It's like, no, the game should have been over. They shouldn't have gotten a play. Was it Central Michigan? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one to me where the powers that be could have stepped in and said, like, no, sorry, the officials. You know, again, if it was a court of law, the Supreme Court, that's an easy overturn.
Well, the trickle down, too, is kind of, you know, at the end of the year, you get to Bedlam, and then Oklahoma's like, well, we're playing a two-loss team instead of a one-loss
team. Exactly.
You know, when they're trying to pitch their resume to the selection committee. All right, that's today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.